The visual from a time of history doesn't always give you a full understanding of why that event took place. While some historic events can take place through spur-of-the-moment actions, many others have backstories that really need to be told, and that's what my next guest has done with an upcoming documentary, which tandems with a new book that reveals how and why a U.S. president and a pope teamed together to bring down communism. The book and the film are The Divine Plan, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the dramatic end of the Cold War. The book is currently in release, and the film will be out this fall. Joining us now is documentary's director, Rob Orlando. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Excited to be here.
And the website to go along with the film, thedivineplanmovie.com. You know, Rob, they always say religion and politics, you don't put the two together. But in this case, there's always an exception to the rule. I think we found an exception with this story, haven't we?
I think we have, because beneath the politics and the religion is the dramatic. And both of these key actors were real actors in life on the screen and on the stage. So I think what made this interesting for me as someone who crosses between the film world and those other worlds, that it was a way of seeing through a new lens, and that was two actors on the world stage.
I make this analogy only because there's been a cable network running the film incessantly. The Blues Brothers movie, the Pope and the President, they seem to be on a mission from God, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they did those dances, but yeah, they were on the stage. No sunglasses. Although one time John Paul II put on Bono's sunglasses, which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, they had the common ground of communism, because we've talked about here on the show a lot about how Reagan's fight against communism goes back to the early 1940s when he went up the ladder in the Actors Union, and certainly the Pope, he lived through it, he survived it, he overcame it, so that was their common ground.
Common ground was they both were men born of war. They were born during World War II. I mean, they lived through World War II, and both of them did confront communism in different ways, and with Reagan it was the unions. He saw how violent they were willing to turn to get their way, and that's where he kind of pivoted more. People don't know this, but Reagan was a staunch follower of FDR for years, and actually he had shaped his career, fashioned his career a lot around FDR's use of the radio and how he spoke on radio, and he admired him a lot. His family was Democrat for a long time, but I think those experiences in early Hollywood with John Paul II, I mean, what a horror show. I mean, he had everyone died in his family, but before he was 21, and he had lived under Nazi, then communist oppression, and basically started in a theater, in an underground theater, and used the stage to have clandestine meetings and do plays and things to keep the national and religious spirits up of the Polish people.
And I mentioned, too, that they had the common ground of communism, but they also had the common ground, which we're really literally just learning to this day about how near-death experiences were.
Yeah, 6 weeks apart. It was March 30th and May 14th, or the two May 13th, I'm sorry, were the two dates. 6 weeks apart. They met up a year later in 1982, and when they met up, Reagan actually shared with John Paul II that he thought, although he always had a faith, and of course the Pope had a faith, but he shared with him that he thought he was spared for a divine plan. It was a word he had been using for some time also. Called it the DP was the code, and the Pope kind of agreed with him that he thought the same thing. Not that they were not searching for their own missions, but that it was a way that this event galvanized them to say, there's no time left, we're both in a position to do something, let's do it.
That was called the DP, as Reagan called it, which stood for The Divine Plan, ergo the title of the book and the film, which was written by Paul Kengor, best-selling author, historian as well. What's the challenge in doing a film off of a book like this? Because you can go one of two ways. It's a political story. It's a story of faith. How did you balance the two aspects of this one story?
Well, that's why I'm going to repeat what I said earlier on, because it seems to be a harder thing for people to digest, is that the idea of storytelling or drama is that it has universals in it. So every human being could, regardless of a partisanship or a particular political beliefs or otherwise, we could still engage. That's what movies do. I mean, you watch a movie because you're interested, and you invest in the life of the characters who are trying to achieve a certain goal or whatever. That surpasses whether you believe you're a Republican or a Democrat or what your religious denomination is, because it means you still have to live the life out that you believe to be what your destiny is or your divine plan. So I didn't approach this with a religious or political angle. I just said, what did they believe, and how could we engage with their lives to see if they fulfilled what they thought their destiny was?
Which is something, unfortunately, is becoming more and more unique, because everyone these days seems to want to interpret, quote-unquote, history, and you seem to want to stay to the facts of the two individuals.
I have found this is my third documentary, and I have found in each case the hyper-political environment we live in, this binary environment, forces people to always want to know, what do you believe? What do you believe? And I always say to them, it really doesn't matter. I did Patton, General Patton, last time. I said, I'm going to read his autobiography. I'm going to tell you what he believed, and I'm going to put it into an exciting film and have you engage his words. Before that, I did the Apostle Paul. It was the same thing for a while. One of the working titles was Paul in His Own Words, because it didn't matter what I believe or what I'm saying. It matters what they were saying. So people do now, in the hyper-political environment, I think, dig into history to find ammunition to fight the modern political arguments, or revise it anyway.
Well, Rob Orlando, who is the director of the documentary The Divine Plan, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Dramatic End of the Cold War, which tandems with the book that's currently in release, written by Paul Gengor, and Rob Orlando had a hand in that as well. A website for the movie is thedivineplanmovie.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Obviously, both of the key figures are no longer with us, so were there blanks in the stories that you needed to fill, and how did you do that?
I started with one general question: was this true? And if it was true, this is probably the second biggest story in 20th century history, after maybe Winston Churchill and World War II. And if it was true, I wanted to find out if it was factual. And because, you know, people have a tendency to mythologize people they respect and care about. So I started with the fact that Carl Bernstein wrote the first magazine article called Holy Alliance in 1992. Then he followed it up with a scholar from the Vatican in 2001, Polito, I think his name was, and he wrote a book called His Holiness. So before I even got to Paul Kengor's book, I was aware of Pope and the President. I was aware that this was in the background, and I said to myself, if that whole spectrum is right, and all of them are saying the same thing, that this is truly their faith, these men were on a mission, this is why they were able to do what they did, but they were kind of panned by the secular audience, and no one really believed them. And I said, wow, if this is true, I have the evidence, and no one has broken this out as a film yet. I want to do it.
I always think, too, when you have two really massive names and individuals like the respective two were, that first meeting, there's probably no middle ground. It's either going to go very well or very bad.
Yeah, well, John Paul II was suspicious. It just goes to show you the power of media, because he was suspicious from Western media that Reagan was a warmonger. So he actually said to his handlers at the time, when he was going into that first meeting, he just wanted to see if Reagan was a man of peace. And after the meeting, he said, he is a man of peace, he's someone we could work with. But just to give an idea, again, of the Western media's influence, the Pope himself needed to see him face to face to determine whether he was a man of peace. And what people, the joke, again, about revised history, especially from the radical left these days, about Reagan being a racist, Reagan was a peacenik. Reagan hated war. He was always pulled back. Conservatives ridiculed him for not being aggressive enough with the Soviet Union. And the whole time he wanted to write the prime minister, his joke was they kept dying on him, but he was trying to write letters of peace to Brezhnev, and he kept getting pulled back the whole time. And then even using SDI, which was kind of half made up, that he was using it as a leveraging tool during the negotiations, was based on that he wanted it to be cancel each other out. He didn't want to be an aggressive, and he offered it to the Soviet Union. He'd offer them the same technology if they built it.
It was never
as part of a peace agreement.
Sure, and Reagan was never afraid of a challenge either. I mean, everyone around him never wanted him to use the phrase evil empire, and no one wanted him to use that Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall.
Yep.
When he was running for president. Where does a Republican president go? Well, not in the South Bronx, where it was a turmoil, but that's where he went that time.
Right, right. And he knew the power of the line, the spoken word. So I think you have to understand, again, just starting from, I think he did something like 80 films, and you know, whether you call him a B or A level actor, to do 80 films and memorize that many lines and engage in that many scripts, you have a dramatic sense. So you know words that would work and not work. I don't think even his speechwriters would have his ear, you know, being an actor.
And given that element, too, that's another common ground that he shared with the Pope as far as being communicators and the ability to know what you need to do to connect with an audience.
Yeah, and also, which makes this crazy in the case of John Paul II, of how complex this gets, he was a moral philosopher, and he studied under German phenomenologists. So he also was bringing a philosophical, like, breakthrough period of time in German and modern philosophy. He was part of that, but then he wrote his first book called The Acting Person. And to make it a long philosophical conversation short, the point was, I think it combined everything we've said so far. It meant that in life, regardless of what you believe and what you hope or what your faith is, you have to step into the real world, into the phenomena of the real world, and engage it. And you must prove what your beliefs are or prove your design by acting. So it all is tied back into the fact that these men were not, they didn't stop at their brains or their mouths. They actually did things that were demonstrative, that showed, they taught by showing and demonstrating, not just by talking.
And when you think of the timeline of everything, it really just boils down to this. The failure for two individuals to take out two people wound up changing the world for tens, maybe even hundreds of millions.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I call this our D-Day because I thought, in the same way that my parents, as we, you know, they had us and we kept going on in the years, we forgot the memories of D-Day, and I didn't. I was a historian, so I always thought about those boys jumping off the beach in the water. I knew what that meant. But I fear, again, it's coming. Maybe it's the 30-year cycle or something. It's just the same thing. Ocasio-Cortez was born like a month before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I just think, well, that doesn't make her less of a person because she was, you know, young. It also says something. Someone's not born in an era, but speaking critically of it, that's a tough sell.
Well, certainly the value of history. What's your hope for this book, which is out now, and the film? Is it do you hope that it's going to be a story of history or a story that people could take from history and bring it into today?
I think it's a deeper dive into the whys of these characters. It, even though you could leave the mysteries and the divine part to mystery, I think there are real things that these guys lived through, that they trained themselves to do, and that they were naturally good at, that all were part of their makeup. So when that bullet fired and they almost were killed within that 6 weeks of one another, it wasn't like automatically they became who they needed to be. It was a whole other. So we take a deeper dive into what got them there, like the initial question you had about, you know, Reagan facing the communists in Hollywood and John Paul II living under Nazi oppression and seeing his friends marched off to Auschwitz.
It is just when you thought you knew the story, there's a lot more of the story you need to know, and that is what The Divine Plan, the book, and soon this fall, the documentary.
National release. It'll be out November 9th for the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Which is why you should bookmark this website, thedivineplanmovie.com. Rob Orlando, thanks so much for bringing this part of history, completing the picture for all of us. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care.